giving you a behind-the-scenes look of Smashville's team. This is Preds Insiders with Adam Vingan and Willie Donick. Smashville lives here on 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Preds Insiders on 102.5 The Game. Adam Vingan and Willie Donick here with you on a Wednesday evening. We hope you've had a wonderful day. The Nashville Predators did not have a wonderful night on the ice last night. In the first of five consecutive home games, the Predators fall 5-2 to the Anaheim Ducks, extending their winless skid to four games, 0-3-1 over the past four games. The Predators are back in action tomorrow night against the Vancouver Canucks. Puck drop at 7, pregame at 6, as always, right here on 102.5 The Game. And Willie, this was, not to sugarcoat it, this was an incredibly disappointing performance by the Nashville Predators. That is the opposite of sugarcoating, actually, because I just came out and said it. It was a really disappointing performance after a hard four-game road trip. The Predators come home. The Anaheim Ducks are a building team, and we'll talk about Anaheim a little bit here because I do find their roster makeup really interesting. But to see the Predators lose in the fashion they did, I was disappointed by their performance. Of course, you were on the call in your Star Wars tie, which got a lot of praise, a lot of love for your Star Wars tie on Star Wars night. But I know you share my feelings on the Predators' performance last night.
Yeah, that was disappointing, of course. And especially when I broke out the Star Wars tie, hoping the Force would be with me and the team, etc. It was a 2-2 game with 5 minutes to go in the second period. So it's not like they got run out of the building, but as Andrew Burnett said after the game, they were sort of hanging on. Anaheim was really pushing them, I think, from about the last 5 minutes to go in the first period through that portion of the second period that was very entertaining, where the Predators tied the game twice. They killed off a 5-on-3. They went on the power play with a chance to take the lead. And if they score, you know, maybe they will themselves deep into the third period and have a chance. But over the course of the game, as Andrew Burnett correctly pointed out, Anaheim was just the better team. And you look at the analytics that I do, Adam. By the end of the game, the team that deserved to win won the game. And Anaheim was just the better team last night.
As you mentioned, the Predators and Ducks were tied at 2 in the second period before Cutter Gauthier and Beckett Seneca scored for the Anaheim Ducks. Troy Terry added a goal midway through the third period, and the Ducks took a 5-2 win from the Predators at Bridgestone Arena. And as you said, Willie, I have access to the same statistics you do. I work for SportLogic in addition to my duties here at 102.5 The Game. And I'm looking at the final report after the game is over, after the game was over, excuse me. And there's one number that jumps out to me, because this was something I thought the Predators were going to work really hard to improve. And I think they did at the beginning of the season, but I feel like over the past few games, they've regressed in this area from last season, and it's odd man rushes. The Ducks had 8 odd man rushes to the Predators' 3. The Predators have allowed 6.7 odd man rushes per game this season, which is 30th in the NHL. So back where they were last season when, correct me if I'm wrong, were they the worst team in the league at allowing odd man rushes last season?
If they weren't the worst, they were in the bottom 5 or 6. So they struggled in that area.
And I thought they did a better job of preventing those early in the season. But it feels like over the past several games, you're seeing the same sort of defensive lapses in open ice that you saw last season.
I think that's fair. And they also, here's what caught my attention. At the end of the press conference, or somewhere in the post-game press conference, Andrew Burnett was asked about the lack of scoring. He said, "I'm actually a little bit more worried about the defensive side of things." And I think that stat was probably one thing that was on his mind as he said that. And there, he said there was a couple other plays. If you look at some of the plays, too, they just had some very poor turnovers at inopportune times that the Ducks cashed in. So you put those two things together, some giveaways in your own zone, plus some odd man rushes, and it spelled doom, really, for the Predators. They were cashed in. The game-winning goal with the score tied at two was a turnover that turned into a two-on-one, and Gauthier, who's a very talented young player, had a lot of time to make his decision on the two-on-one, and he cashed in. Then there was another turnover behind the net that was fed out in front, and all of a sudden, boom, it's 4-2 in a game that you felt like you were right in. So they have simply got to be better in those areas if they're going to continue along with the formula that has worked for them so far this year, defending well, getting really good goaltending, giving your goaltender to have a chance to be really successful, and then being opportunistic on offense.
The Predators, by the way, finished 28th in the NHL last season in odd man rushes against at 5.82. So far this season, they're 30th in the NHL at 6.71. So they have actually declined in that area in the early going of the season. And Willie, as I was watching this game, we've talked a lot about the Predators and their prospect pool and the many young players that haven't cracked the NHL lineup or have had a small opportunity at the NHL level. And we've talked about how we hope that those young players form the nucleus of this Predators team in the coming years. And I'm looking at the Anaheim Ducks, and I'm looking at the blend of youth and experience in their lineup. And granted, the Anaheim Ducks have been bad for a long time. We looked this up before the show, Willie. The Ducks have not made the playoffs since 2018. And when they made the playoffs in 2018, they were swept out of the playoffs in 2018. I had completely forgotten about the fact that the Ducks made the playoffs in 2018. I thought the last time the Ducks made the playoffs was when they lost in the Western Conference Final to the Predators in 2017. So when you've been that bad for that long, you have the opportunity to draft high, and you look at their lineup, and there are a lot of players in their lineup who were drafted high, including some who were drafted high by other organizations, like Cutter Gauthier, who was drafted high by the Philadelphia Flyers. But you also have Leo Carlson, you have Mason McTavish, you have Bennett Seneca. And those young players are insulated by a really interesting mix of veteran players, like former Predators forward Mikhail Granlund, Alex Killorn, who won championships, or at least one championship, with the Tampa Bay Lightning, Frank Vetrano. Chris Kreider didn't play last night, but
he's helped them already this year.
Yes, he has.
Four goals already.
Yes, Jacob Trouba, Ratko Gudas. Like,
it's a good blend.
It is a really good blend. I would love for the Predators one day to have this sort of blend. But as I said, part of that is being bad for a long time, which I know the Predators are not interested in doing.
Well, it did take 7 years to get here for the Ducks. And I was impressed with them. I do think that had a lot to do with the result of the game. They looked like they're young, skilled guys. There's a lot of top five picks in there. The Carlson is the second overall pick. Seneca, the third overall pick. McTavish, third overall pick. They've got some top five guys in there, some top 10 guys. And they're now getting to an age where they collectively can not only hold their own, but win. Like, they traded away Trevor Zegras because he was as talented as he is on the surface. He wasn't in their mix of top guys. They had other guys they liked better. So they flipped Zegras. So I'm curious if they are ready to make a jump into the playoff picture. They are expecting to. That's why they hired Joel Quenneville. They feel like it's time to win. It's an intriguing roster. For Nashville, you know, they haven't gone through, they haven't had a series of top five picks. People are excited about Brady Martin. We'll talk about him later in the show. He's a top five pick. He's the third top five pick in Predators history. There are four or five top five picks on the Anaheim roster that they had to be poor to end up acquiring by being bad for a long time. So Barry Trotz on our show yesterday on DVD, Adam talked about building a new core. They have been building a farm system that they hope will be a new core, but it's not a bunch of elite top five picks, right? We're going to have to see if some of these guys blossom into really good players. But in another 2 or 3 years, we're really curious to see what this pool of guys, most of which are in Milwaukee right now, look like.
And oftentimes it takes several down years to build a lineup like the one that Anaheim rolled out last night. Because as we mentioned, a lot of high draft picks. The Predators, as you said, Willie, have not had very many stretches of bad seasons. They are coming off of one, which led to the drafting of Brady Martin in the top five. But the Predators, as we've talked about, are uninterested in going through a rebuild. We've talked about this. We've talked about it over the summer, Willie. There was a really interesting study in the Daily on the Daily Faceoff website. The author, whose name is escaping me at the moment, crunched the numbers, and the average successful rebuild takes 8.5 years. So the Ducks are sort of on that trajectory, right? They hope that they're at the end of that, and they're going to be back in the playoffs. But that's what it usually takes to get back in the playoff mix after so many down seasons. Speaking of Brady Martin, the Predators made news earlier today when they announced that Brady Martin will be returning to his junior club. We will talk about that decision coming up next. Willie Donick and Adam Vingan. This is Preds Insiders, 102.5 The Game. Yo, Trey, drop the verse. It's going down, face of Preds Insiders on 102.5 The Game. Adam Vingan and Willie Donick here with you on Wednesday evening. Feels like hockey weather out there. I love this time of year. The Predators are back in action tomorrow night against the Vancouver Canucks, who lost last night to the Pittsburgh Penguins. Puck drop at 7, pregame at 6, as always, right here on 102.5 The Game. And Brady Martin, who was in the lineup for the Predators last night, will not be in the lineup for the Predators tomorrow because the Predators announced earlier today that the number 5 overall pick in this past summer's draft has been returned to the Sioux Greyhounds of the Ontario Hockey League. And we've broken this down many times before, but in case you missed it, let's refresh your memory. Now that Brady Martin has been returned to the Ontario Hockey League, he cannot play in the NHL again this season until after his junior season has been completed. So the earliest you'll see Brady Martin again in a Predators uniform is the end of the NHL regular season, March, April, thereabouts. So Brady Martin played 3 games for the Predators. The first 2 games at home, he sat out of the entire 4-game road trip through Canada. He played last night against Anaheim. And Barry Trotz said on our show yesterday, Willie, on D-Maze, Ving, and Adana, quote, "I don't want Brady Martin playing 10, 11 minutes a night. To me, that would be a disservice. And if he's going to play 10 or 11 minutes a night, then I'd rather him play 20 minutes a night in junior and then have him here next year playing 15 a night," end quote. In his 3 games with the Predators, Martin played 12 minutes 44 seconds, 10 minutes 30 seconds, and 10 minutes 51 seconds last night against the Anaheim Ducks. So, Willie, we were prepared for this. This is not a surprise at all, but I do think the Predators made the correct decision in sending Brady Martin back to the Sioux Greyhounds today.
Barry Trotz, I think, we know Barry Trotz. He is going to explain the process. And in our regular interviews with him on our show, and also if you go back to training camp, he joined Chase and Big Joe. So every week there was a check-in, and you could hear him talk about Brady Martin. And so I think the summary of what we saw was an 18-year-old kid that they weren't sure what they would see when he got to camp. He impressed in the rookie camp. He deserved to make the opening night roster. But all along, I think there was the, let's keep in mind he's only 18. Let's think about the long term here. And as Barry Trotz said on our show yesterday, he said if we were to send him down tomorrow, which is in fact what they did after his performance last night, he said this would be a win, this would be a victory. And so he gets a taste of the NHL. It doesn't cost the Predators a year on his contract. They continue to have him at his entry-level deal, which is 3 years long, so they have more runway to decipher his value going forward, which is good for the team. Brady Martin takes a very valuable experience back with him to Junior. And I think what also had them making that decision now was that Andrew Burnett is not put in a position going forward of, hey, do I play the long game of putting a guy in the lineup who's only 18? We've got to be careful how we use him. I've got to put him in positions to succeed. I don't want to have him exploited at this stage of his career when the team is still trying to get off to a good start, trying to make hay on this stretch of games where they play at home for a while. They've got, I think, 9 games in the next 18 days or something like that, or 11 games in the next 18 games. Starting last night, it was a stretch of 12 games in 20 days before the team goes to Sweden. If they don't do well in these 12 games, we know what the story is going to be like when they take off from Sweden. So Andrew Burnett is trying to figure out, how do I win right now? And is Brady Martin part of that equation? I think what we saw enough of is that Brady Martin, as talented as he is, he's only 18 years of age. And I don't think he's ready to move the needle right now for this team. If he had different players around him and the team was more successful, then I think you could have him sort of along for the ride a little bit more. But the fact is, this group has got to get as much impact with their group of forwards as they can right now. And so he's more of a passenger right now than a driver. The idea someday, hopefully someday pretty soon, he will be a driver of their offense at a center position.
I asked Barry Trotz yesterday to address some of the grumbling I've heard from Predators fans about the usage of the team's young players. We mentioned Brady Martin. We also mentioned Joakim Kemmel, who made the opening night roster and a week later was sent back to the American Hockey League. But Willie, you and I have talked about this off air, and you want to emphasize that the case of Brady Martin and the other young players in the system, they're two totally different things, and I want you to share that with us now.
Well, this is for perspective. Brady Martin is 18, so he is basically if you have a son or a daughter that's a freshman in college this year, first semester of college, that is Brady Martin.
How old is your son?
My son is 20, and he is in the fall. He just turned 20, and he's in the fall of his second year in college. So he's barely 20. Brady Martin has not turned 19 yet. My son was 19 in his first semester. So in theory, the way, we see how athletes go these times, sometimes you try to be a little older in high school. Brady Martin is still young enough to be a high school senior. He would be eligible to play in the TSSAA. He's 18. So that's how young he is. He's 5 years younger than Cam Ward. Think about what we hope to see in 5 years. That's an eternity right now. But that's Brady Martin. Joakim Kemmel is, I think, 21. You can check that. Maybe just turned 22. So he's further along.
Kemmel is 21.
He's 21. And it seems like he's been around forever, right? Because they drafted him when he was, I think, still 17 when he was picked. So he's been in the system for a while, and I'm sure he's getting antsy and anxious. He feels like he can help them right now. He's still young enough to where I think there's some developing to do, but he's a key guy, I think, that you should start to see it at some point this year, whether he is going to be a guy that is a keeper. They certainly need it. They hope. They desperately need what his skill set is supposed to provide, which is a shooter, a guy who's got some skill, a guy who can score some goals. And so to me, the argument of let's play the young guys, it's a very different argument for Kemmel, who is further along in the developmental process. He was drafted 4 years ago, as opposed to Martin, who they just drafted. Does that make sense?
It does.
And then there's a bunch of other guys that are all in that 19, 20, 21, 22 range that they don't have room to play all of them. But I think by the end of the season, they'll play quite a few of them. But in the meantime, right now, they're still trying to be competitive. If they were to drop out of the race 40 or 50 games in, like happened last year, could happen this year. They hope it doesn't. Then it'll be a lot easier to put those guys in and let them just wait around, throw them in the deep end, see what you get, evaluate at that point. But it's not time for that just yet. But I know the fans, they hear these prospects' names. They're like, hey, he's ready. Let's get him in there. They saw Kimmel have the great game in the preseason finale, right? They want to see more of that. But it's a really tricky thing, I think, for a coach. I asked Barry Trotz yesterday, how hard is it for a coach sometimes when you think a kid could help you long-term, but you're in that day-to-day, like think about the perspective of Andrew Burnett. Adam, what happens to Andrew Burnett if they were to fall out of the race early? So he's got to be thinking, I need to survive. I need to have success early in the season or what happens to me, right? It's easier from afar to say, put the kids in there. But if he senses that the kids aren't quite the right guys for that night, that's a dilemma. I'm not saying which one's right or wrong. I see both sides of it.
Barry Trotz has emphasized the importance of things that we can't see when it comes to Brady Martin's development. Being on the road, on an extended trip, practicing with his veteran teammates, going out to dinner with his veteran teammates, spending time with them. Barry Trotz mentioned to us that he sat with Brady Martin during the game in Ottawa last week, and they watched the game together for a little bit. And those things are intangible to us because we're not witnessing them. But Barry Trotz has emphasized the importance of how valuable that time will be for Brady Martin, even if we're not necessarily seeing it on the ice yet.
Yeah, I think they believe if he's around Ryan O'Reilly every day, if he's watching how he operates, if he's studying the game, that will be valuable. You wouldn't want to do that for a whole year and have him sit, but I don't think they were in a hurry to send him back to junior where he's likely to dominate against high school age kids. That's basically what Canadian junior hockey is. So that's where they're at right now. I think that's why they did it. I think in a perfect world, had he played better or if the team was off to a better start, it might be easier for them to play him in a few more games and get closer to the game, you know, game nine. But right now, part of what's happening is the veteran players, some of the veteran players are not pulling, you know, and not carrying the team. So it's making it a little harder for them to keep a guy or two in there that's a little younger when, you know, you need results, right? So I think that's part of what's happening here. And I know we're going to get to, you know, the performance of some of the veterans so far.
Yes, and we will do that coming up next because there is one player in particular I'm starting to worry about. And we'll discuss him coming up next. Adam Vingan and Willie Donick. This is Preds Insiders on 102.5 The Game. Preds Insiders on 102.5 The Game. Adam Vingan and Willie Donick here with you. The Predators continue their five-game homestand tomorrow against the Vancouver Canucks. Puck drop at 7, pregame at 6, right here on 102.5 The Game. And Willie, I haven't gone back to listen to it, but I did see a couple of people mention it on social media. I think the announcer jinx struck last night.
It did.
You mentioned
full responsibility.
You mentioned Ross Johnston, who isn't known for his skill.
No.
And yet Ross Johnston had a career high 3 points last night. A Gordie Howe hat trick for Ross Johnston. He has two career multi-point games now. And it was his first since February of 2022. So I'm not going to say it's all on you.
It's on me.
Okay. If you're taking the blame, I'll let you take the blame.
The second he scored, I said in my head, I didn't say it on the air. I was like, you just jinxed it. So here's what happened. in early in a game, when I'm calling the game, in the flow of play, I try to introduce guys as they touch the puck. If there's time to put out, you know, here's the top line. Here's who you need to watch out for on the opposition. Or if it's the Predators, if there's a new lineup, hey, so-and-so is playing with so-and-so tonight. So there's an introductory portion of the game. So I was introducing the fourth line for Anaheim, and part of what I was saying was Brady Martin was matched up against the fourth line. That was the idea of putting a kid out in position to, you know, in a position to succeed. So I was introducing the fourth line. I said, Ross Johnston used to play for Barry Trotz. He's a fighter, right? He's in the league because he's tough. He's not in there to score. So I said something like, fourth line is out there. Here's Ross Johnston. Not a whole lot of skill. Boom! He scores a goal about 4 seconds later. And so the jinx was on. Sorry, guys.
But the reason I bring up Ross Johnston is that Ross Johnston had more points last night in 8 minutes, 53 seconds of ice time than Steven Stamkos has all season. And I'm starting to get worried about Steven Stamkos, which is not an easy thing to say, because Steven Stamkos will be enshrined in the Hockey Hall of Fame as soon as his career is over. And he is one of the greatest goal scorers of his generation and one of the greatest goal scorers in NHL history. I want to say he's either 22nd or 23rd all time in goals scored in NHL history. Incredible career for Steven Stamkos. But I'm noticing him on the ice less and less. And one thing I've noticed, last season, he had a career low 2.12 shots per game. So far this season, he has 2 shots per game. So he's averaging even fewer shots than he did last season when he had a career low in shots on goal. And the Predators have been moving him around the lineup, trying to get him going. The power play is struggling, and we'll talk about the power play. But, you know, last night at one point at the end of the game, as your FanDuel Sports Network broadcast was showing the Anaheim Ducks celebrating, there was a shot of Steven Stamkos on the bench looking despondent. And I thought to myself, I think that's the first time I've seen Steven Stamkos on the broadcast tonight. And it's a shame, because the Predators need Steven Stamkos to score goals. The Predators have been held to 2 or fewer goals in 5 of their 7 games. And one of the games, if correct me if I'm wrong here, Willie, one of the games that the Predators scored more than 2 goals, it was the game in Ottawa, and there were 2 empty netters.
Yes.
So it's been...
And I think if you want to take it a step further, in Toronto they scored 4, but they got a couple late where they were in comeback mode.
Right.
So they have not gotten enough offense. They know that.
Yes. And but Steven Stamkos looks like a shell of himself out there. And one of my major concerns about Stamkos when he signed here was, do the Predators have the talent around Stamkos to bring out the best of him? Because he's not the player he was when he was younger, of course. And when he came here, he's not playing with Nikita Kucherov anymore. He's not playing with Braden Point anymore. And I'm starting to worry that Steven Stamkos is perhaps in more of a decline than I thought he would be at this stage of his career.
I think it goes back to something we were concerned about going in. One of the biggest question marks on the team is, do they have the ability at the center position to distribute the puck and get the things done that you need to do at that position? And they're still deficient in that area, I think, as a team, in an offensive sense, for sure. I think they like what Eric Hall is doing. They like what Michael McCarron's doing. Fedor Svechkov was on, you know, he started the year on the line with Steven Stamkos. And Svechkov, we said in our last show before the season started, Adam, I believe, watch Svechkov, how he does. They're asking a lot of Svechkov at that spot. At his age, and he's what, 21, 22?
Thereabouts.
They need more from him. He's 22, and they need him to grow into that role. it's a little bit of a big ask for him to be a two center. So as he has not really become a great distributor, a great player right now, he's still trying to find himself. I'm certainly not even close to giving up on Svechkov. I think he still flashes within games of something that could turn into a really good player. He's still trying to get there. But, and Ryan O'Reilly as the number one center, it's a lot to ask of him. He's not really a distributor, right? He's more of a grinder, net front guy, dump it in, go get it. Stamkos has always flourished, I think, as being a guy that gets himself in position to shoot. Think about a spot-up shooter in basketball, right? That's more of what Stamkos' game is. He's a prolific shooter. So where is he going to get his goals? On the power play. Power play has struggled. And at 5-on-5, he needs a guy who's really good at getting him the puck, drawing the coverage in, leaving him open. And so Stamkos isn't getting a lot of shots as a result. And he's 35. We discussed it. He's not the same player he was, say, 5 years ago. So it is one of several. It's not all on him, right? There's a lot of things happening out there that are adding up to not quite enough offense right now.
If you look under the hood, the process offensively is better. If you're going by expected goals or shot quality at 5-on-5, the Predators are 7th in the league in 5-on-5 expected goals per 60 minutes.
Yeah, there's some encouraging signs there.
Last season, they were 22nd in the league in that same category. But one thing I mentioned to Barry Trotz yesterday on DVD is, although the process looks better, your top scorers are all quote-unquote older players. I mean, Philip Forsberg is what, 30, 31? I mean,
Philip Forsberg's 31.
Right.
These are the top players in shot attempts so far.
Okay.
Forsberg, age 31, he's got 48. So he's getting a decent amount of volume. I don't think we've seen Philip Forsberg hit the hot streak that he will traditionally hit. And I think this will be true of Stamkos, too. I think by the end of the year, Stamkos is going to have a solid amount of goals. It's the question is going to be, you know, can you score those big goals? Can you make those impact plays? Josi's 35. You're seeing glimpses of Roman Josi at his peak. He's a critical guy, right? He's got to have a great year for them to get enough offense. He's second on the team in shot attempts. Third is Stamkos, 32 shot attempts, 14 on net. Brady Shea, 31. Jonathan Marchessault, 35. Those are your top five guys. So I think that's where you're going. Your 30-somethings are still the guys that are
right.
Asked to carry the load.
And as we know, as athletes age, they lose some of those skills. So my concern is, even though the process looks better, the statistics prove that, are these top players still able to score as consistently as they once did? That would be my concern.
Probably not. And that's where the second wave, you would hope, will pick up the slack. The Evangelistas, the Michael Buntings. You hope at some point guys like, the Kemmels, the real young guys, maybe chip in. Svechkov is a big one that can swing it. Maybe you get another year from your fourth line that looks similar to 2 years ago, where a McCarron gets and a Cole Smith get 10 or 11 goals as opposed to 6 or 7, right? These are all the little things to where you hope to get enough offense.
So as I watch Steven Stamkos, I feel like I'm seeing what I was afraid of seeing from Steven Stamkos when the Predators signed him last summer. And as you said, Willie, Steven Stamkos could easily turn it on and reel off a huge goal scoring streak and make me look bad. And I'm okay with looking bad. But I just haven't seen it from him. And I wonder if he'll be able to get it back. Coming up next on Preds Insiders, we'll wrap up the show. We'll look ahead to the upcoming schedule. We'll talk a little bit about the power play as well. Willie Donick, Adam Vingan, this is Preds Insiders, 102.5 The Game. Preds Insiders, 102.5 The Game. Adam Vingan and Willie Donick here with you on a Wednesday evening. The Predators are back in action tomorrow night against the Vancouver Canucks, who are ending a long road trip of their own. Puck drop at 7, pregame at 6, right here on 102.5 The Game. The Predators' homestand continues Saturday against the LA Kings and on Sunday against the Dallas Stars before wrapping up next Tuesday, October 28th, against the Tampa Bay Lightning. And Willie, we were just talking about, speaking of the Lightning, we were talking about Steven Stamkos. We were talking about the offensive issues of the team. And the power play is not in a good way right now. 8.3%, the worst percentage in the NHL. 2-for-24 on the season. And I pulled some numbers on the power play, Willie, and I want you to tell me if these numbers match your eye test as you have watched the Predators' power play. And this includes the entire team, not just the first unit specifically. The Predators rank 17th in shot quality per 2 minutes on the power play, so middle of the pack. 22nd in scoring chances per 2 minutes on the power play. 26th in slot shots on net per 2 minutes. And 26th in the percentage of shot attempts from the slot on the power play. Do those numbers line up with your eye test?
Yes. I would say that I think when you look at just the simplest stat that SportLogic puts out there, expected goals.
Yes.
You said 17th. So they should. I shouldn't say should. Should's the wrong word. They could. They would be expected to.
Yes, they are expected to have
7.5 goals
based on the quality of their shots.
So the quality is a little bit better than the result right now, but at the same time, I think they know it can be better and has to be better. You hope that at some point, because this is what happens, you start getting a little bit, you lose a little confidence. Ryan O'Reilly talked about this last night. We discussed this at the beginning of the show, but the critical point in the game last night, the Predators got a very gutsy kill on a 5-on-3. Killed off the 5-on-3, the 5-on-4, the crowd's into it. Boom, as soon as they come out of the box, they get a power play, the first of the game. And here they are with a chance to take the lead. They don't score. So I think there was that deflating, and it wasn't a bad power play. They had a couple good looks, but it doesn't go in. And so there's that extra weight on your shoulders. So tomorrow night when they play Vancouver, I think the same feeling will be out there when they go on the power play. The mental baggage that you start having, can you get one or two to go in to start getting confidence back? These are even veteran players that have been on power plays for a decade or more in their careers, but it still happens to them. And Ryan O'Reilly mentioned that in his post-game interview with Kara Hammer. It's like there was that deflating feeling, and he was trying to be accountable. He's part of that. Right, and then it was just a minute or two later that they gave up the two goals where he said maybe they were chasing offense a little too much, pressing and did not play their game and allowed Anaheim to take control of the game.
The matchup tomorrow is interesting to me. The Vancouver Canucks are ending a long road trip. The Canucks go on a lot of long road trips. The Predators go on long road trips too. But the Vancouver Canucks are coming off of a 5-1 loss to the Pittsburgh Penguins on Tuesday. In Pittsburgh, they are a depleted team. Philip Hedel, their second line center, out with a suspected head injury, and he has a history of those head injuries after taking a huge hit from Washington's Tom Wilson over the weekend. Brock Besser has been away for the past few games for personal reasons. He could play tomorrow against the Predators. But it's a team at the end of a long road trip. I think the war of attrition, I guess you could say, caught up to them in Pittsburgh on Tuesday. They just looked out of gas, and even their head coach, Adam Foote, said as much. So this is a good opportunity for the Predators to bounce back against a tired team missing several key players. Now, of course, you have to go out and do it, but we'll see if the Predators can do it tomorrow against Vancouver.
And, of course, the Canucks do have Quinn Hughes. Quinn Hughes, you've got
yes.
That guy is so good.
And Thatcher Demko has been outstanding for the Canucks in goal. So So I assume we see Thatcher Demko, not old friend Kevin Lankinen, in net for the Canucks tomorrow. But Demko has been outstanding. As you mentioned, Quinn Hughes is a fabulous. It's great watching Quinn Hughes play hockey. If you haven't seen Quinn Hughes play and you're going to the game tomorrow, keep an eye on number 43 in white. He is a special, special player. You probably noticed that when these two teams played in the playoffs a couple of years ago, but he is a special player. Elias Pettersson is also in the lineup. He's under a lot of pressure. He's always under a lot of pressure because he has a huge contract and he hasn't been really living up to it. So we'll see what happens there.
But it's from the Predators' perspective, I think if I were to predict what you're going to hear from the locker room tomorrow, is it's not about the opponent.
Right.
Even though you lay out there, this does happen. You've been on the circuit traveling. There are times when you catch a team that's banged up and or road weary. And sometimes those teams can press through that and adrenaline takes them. Let's finish the road trip on a high note. That's what they're going to be talking about. We got to finish this road trip strong.
I'm sure the Predators were saying that in Winnipeg last weekend.
Right. And we saw what happened there. But I think the point is, if you're not playing your best, then anybody can beat you, whether it's the best team in the league or the worst team in the league. So I think the Predators' focus has got to be, they've got to put that behind them. Ryan O'Reilly's quote was, "That wasn't us out there." That can't, and you could feel it if you take a step further, kind of read between the lines of what he was saying. He was saying, that can't be us. Because if that's us, that's not going to bode well for this homestand. They really need to stay with the pack on this stretch where they've got, what is it, Adam, 10 out of 12 or 9 out of 12 at home? I think 9 out of 12 at home before they go to Sweden. So this is a chance. They've got to get in a groove, play well on a home ice, get the crowd behind them, get their confidence up, and it starts. It didn't start off on a good note last night, as we saw. So they've got to change the tune.
By my count, it's 8 of the next 10 are at home, if my math is right, which it may not be. So don't trust me on that. But it looks like 8 out of 10.
And then the 11th game is in New York.
Correct.
I think before they go to Sweden.
Correct. So we'll see if the Predators can bounce back and end their four-game winless skid, 0-3-1 in their past four games. They'll attempt to break that stretch against the Vancouver Canucks tomorrow night. Puck drop at 7, pregame at 6, right here on 102.5 The Game. Max Herz will bring you the pregame coverage before the voice of the Predators, Pete Weber and Jay Moore, of course, have the call for the game. Canucks at Predators tomorrow at 7. For Willie Donick, I'm Adam Vingan. This was Preds Insiders 102.5 The Game.